Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Just got back with Escambia County from Oklahoma yesterday after a two-week deployment because of the tornadoes. And one of the things I want to share, if you don't know, and no matter how much criticism or, this is a professional term, flack that you get as the media, I want you to know that we, as public safety, value what you do when it comes to getting our information pushed out to the public. Why? Because you're trusted. There's a group of people that look to you in the same manner that they look to us when it comes to information regarding weather, news, whatever it is, to get safety information pushed out.
This is Tom Lloyd, the Public Safety Director in Santa Rosa County. Yesterday we had a two-meeting day. We had the annual pre-hurricane season media get-together where we go to the Emergency Operations Center, or EOC. And that's also typically the 911 dispatch center, although not necessarily, but it happens to be in these cases. And you go there and you talk to the public safety director, the emergency management director, different folks. And also lots of media, Cat Country is there and Channel 3 was there and P&J was there and we were there. And, everybody's there to just kind of make sure that we're all on the same page, get our questions answered and are ready in case there's a storm. We hope there isn't, but, obviously there are, at least sometimes. And they just got back from Oklahoma, Tom Lloyd, going with Escambia County. This is at Santa Rosa. And I thought it was an interesting story about how local people trust the local media in ways that they may not trust what they hear from even something like the National Weather Service.
And it really hit home for me when we got to a small town in Oklahoma and we're trying to get a weather brief done and we have storms moving in on us. And I'm trying to wrap my head around everything that's going on, trying to get some good situational awareness. And I asked the senior member of the town, I said, well, how do you know if a tornado's coming? And they said, when you turn the news on and the weatherman says that the storm's coming from this direction. And I said, well, what about the National Weather Service? And what about this person? If this channel, this news channel comes on, if he breaks in and stops the show that you're watching, and they say there's a tornado coming, we need to go to the shelter. That's all you need to know. I said, all right, fair enough. So that really drove it home for us and the incident management team that if, and I apologize, I don't remember which channel it was, but they said if it switches and this person gets on there and says there's a storm coming, a tornado coming, you need to listen to them. So I know that you understand the influence you have on the community, and we appreciate the information that you disseminate for us. So thank you very much. We appreciate the partnership.
And yet at the same time, and I know Tom Lloyd knows this, but at the same time, one of the themes that we have been hearing now for several years from emergency managers in both counties is that the problem is people don't know a storm is coming. Now he's talking about tornadoes. Okay. But they don't know like hurricanes are coming because many, many, many people do not watch TV or listen to the radio and the tradition or read the newspaper. And so traditional sources of reliable information don't get through to them. They're on their phones. And if it's not on TikTok, it doesn't exist. This is Travis Tompkins, the emergency manager in Escambia County.
One of the things that we're really focused on this year, and we've always been focused on it, but we're really pushing this year of keeping up with our social media pages, because we are putting information on there constantly. We have a whole staff of ESF 14 folks, and some of their jobs are nothing but social media.
ESF is emergency support function. That's during an emergency. There's these different categories of, what the cops are doing, what the gas people are doing, and what the water people are doing. And so that's all that means. You don't need to worry about what that number means, but that's what he's getting at, his communications area.
So we're trying to get where people are at. And I know that there's a lot of I know people still watch the news, they still listen to the news, but a lot of our young people are not watching the news or listening to the news. They're if they're not getting it on that phone, they're not getting the information.
And that's a problem because they may not know a hurricane is coming until they're in it. let alone having been prepared for it.
I don't know how many times I've had conversations with folks, and especially younger folks, that they didn't even know the storm was here until it was here. And that's just crazy. You think that, you know, that people are trying to stay informed and know what they're supposed to do, and the case is that there just really aren't. I mean, it's a lot of people are not doing anything until the last minute. So those folks that didn't know the storm was even here or coming, what did they also not do? They probably didn't prepare. And so that's a real emphasis and focus that we're trying to put out.
Yeah, that's a big problem in terms of, you know, you might often think like it's your elderly neighbors that you need to make sure to check up on because they may not be aware or capable of, you know, doing all the things for themselves. It may be your younger neighbors who genuinely don't even know. I mean, it's so unfathomable because obviously you listen to this station. We're going to talk about storms, you know, well in advance of them coming. We'll try to give you a sense of whether it's likely or not likely. Of course, sometimes it's hard to tell, right? Though they've become a lot more accurate in recent years. But, you know, you almost get sick of hearing about it, right? And I understand that. And on social media, you're like, people are putting up the cone. They see the cone. No, that's on Facebook. They're not on Facebook. If they're under 30, they're not on Facebook, right? They're Instagram and TikTok. Did you put it up there? Did they see it there? Did they follow you enough? That's the problem is they genuinely do not know, even though you think, well, God, everybody knows. No, not everybody knows. Jimmy's got our traffic on the fives. Jimmy?
We are not seeing too much on the roadways this morning. No major accidents or slowdowns. If you are coming in from Cantonment, U.S. Highway 29 is all clear, and no slowdowns on Gulf Beach Highway or Blue Angel Parkway if you're coming in from Perdido. If you see anything on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. You know, we had a great experience with Pensacola State College in our house. Like, we had, you know, three boys homeschooled. Two of them went to middle school and public school at Brown Barge, but the oldest did not. And so the oldest and the middle are now in, at UWF working on ME degrees. And they went to PSC for dual enrollment in high school. So they went 3 years dual enrollment, which means that you get college credit and high school credit, and the courses are free and the books are free. And you get to get transitional experience being in college, and you get to go to university with like, you know, a year and a half worth of credit. Pretty sweet deal, especially for homeschool kids who, you know, my middle had gone to Brown Barge, but still, you know, the oldest had no real classroom experience, but he got to get some of that obviously at PSC. They cater very much to the students. It's very student centered, whether it's class section choices or professor choices or just accommodations or anything like that. I've taught at, you know, community college, and also taught at regular universities. And I can vouch for the fact that at the community college, it's very oriented towards the student, especially the non-traditional student. And PSC is a great example of that. So we had a great experience. I know many other people have had it. Pensacola, Warrenton, Milton, Century, South Santa Rosa Center, downtown Pensacola, and Santa Rosa Industrial Park East. Find out what PSC can do to help you reach your future goals at pensacolastate.edu. A couple of follow-up comments about this whole issue of, you know, young people and what people do and do not know about storms. Another one that Travis Tompkins mentioned yesterday that I thought was very interesting is the fact that we tend to put a big push on every year right ahead of hurricane season and right at the beginning of it, like now. But there are a lot of people who, I mean, if somebody moves here in July or August or September from Michigan, they have no idea. I mean, no idea. And you know, that's a lot of people. Or even if they move here just from somewhere else where they just don't have it. Plus, we have visitors here all the time who have no idea about this stuff. And it's easy to think, well, we've done our due diligence. We've done our service. We've talked about it the one time a year. Well, there are a lot of people who are not familiar even when you do it properly. And that's something to be aware of.
And then we have all these people that are moving into our community that are not coming from a hurricane-prone area. And so that's the other, our population is growing. I mean, it's immensely growing. And then thanks to Visit Pensacola, we started looking at the numbers from our tourists that are here during hurricane season. And that's a whole, so under normal census, we're about 324,000 people. But during, you know, our peak of our summer tourism, and I say peak, we just had another record-breaking Memorial Day weekend. So, I mean, there are a lot more people that we're concerned about getting messaging out than just the citizens that we have.
Yeah, all true. And so it's kind of a get to know your neighbors, get to know people, you know, create a community. That's kind of what he's getting at, both for the elderly and for the young and for the newcomer and for just, you know, kind of across the board. Now, one of the other things that they talked quite a bit about in both counties yesterday was the problem of communications in a storm. Jimmy, do you know what a landline is?
Landline. Hang on. Give me one sec. Those lines that are running on the roads.
a phone that is actually rooted in a cable, a twisted pair of copper wire that goes into your house, that goes to a phone that you hang on the wall or have on the desk.
What was your home phone number when you were a kid?
Oh, I know it for sure. Absolutely.
Say it on the air.
No. Well, I don't know why it matters at this point, but, you know, I even can see it. I can see dialing it in, of course.
Me too.
But, okay, so if you have a cell phone, as, like, normal people have only cell phones, I'm sorry. If you have a landline, you're abnormal. You're by number, you're abnormal, okay?
Aren't these landlines right here?
Yeah, those are, but they're also power-based because it's not a traditional simple phone. So if the power goes out, what happens to this phone?
It stays on, I guess.
No. God damn it. We have a generator. But if you have any kind of a like a networked system in your office, it's not going to work because you don't have power. So if you have a cell phone, what do you do when the power goes out? Oh, well, you just call it in. On what? Well, on the cell phone. Through what? Well, the tower. Uh-huh. What if the tower's gone? What if it's a serious storm and the tower's gone? Or the network is out? That's a problem. You can't even report things like, you know, hey, we're stuck in this subdivision. Help, right? Because there's no phone. What are you going to do, send a carrier pigeon? I mean, you know, that's a problem. So especially because cell service can just get obliterated. What do we see in Michael, you know? People, they brought in towers and balloons and all kinds of crazy stuff, and they're working on getting, like, Starlink and stuff. But, again, emergency communications in the emergency. Something to think about a little bit because, you know, because we're also dependent upon cell phones. So anyway, I just, you know, there was a lot of good stuff that they, you know, and they're both counties are doing everything they can to make sure that they have as much infrastructure to prepare you. But, you know, and by the way, remember that the guidance has changed. The guidance used to be the first 72 is on you. That is no longer the guidance. The guidance is 1 week ready. 7 days. They want you to have enough water and food and survival supplies on hand that you can, you know, dog food, medicine, whatever, that you can get by for 7 days if nobody knows you exist. That's a lot. But in Michael, it was a lot longer than that before people got their power on, right? So just, you know, always be aware, always be prepared just in case. And, of course, we have storms or tornadoes. That can happen more suddenly. So this should kind of always be the case. Anyway, very good meetings in both counties. I super appreciate what they do to keep us and therefore to keep you informed. 623 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
You've built up the equity in your home. Now, a home equity line of credit from Pinair Credit Union can help you put it to great use. So build something incredible, like a backyard oasis or new walk-in shower. Invest in something special, like education or your business. Or just replace your roof. Boring, but important. Whatever you need, a home equity line of credit from Pinair is ready and waiting. And since there's no annual fee and no closing costs, a Pinair home equity line is always a perfect fit. Get started at pinair.org/HELOC. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer? Whenever I want?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. 94% of Sleep Number smart sleepers report better sleep. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Pensacola right now with Joe and Austin.
It's like headline news for radio. Every day, 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You sure that was sounding okay?
I'll be honest, fellas, it was sounding great, but I could have used a little more cowbell.
I guess if I were thinking this through better, I would have had a song that was heavy on the cowbell. You know, you can't can't always play Blue Oyster Cult. 625 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Jimmy, he's got our traffic on the five. Jimmy?
Not too much happening on our roadways this morning. If you're coming into town from Gulf Breeze and Navarre, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic building up right at the Avalon Boulevard intersection, but clearing up as you pass that and all the way clear through the bridge into Pensacola. And Pace and Milton, we're seeing some traffic building up on Chemukla Highway at the intersection with US 90. And a little bit of slowdown on the bridge this morning, but clearing up as you cross the bridge into Pensacola.
Which bridge?
The US 90 bridge.
Okay.
You know, the bridge that you take from Chemukla to get into Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Our boss often likes to text in subtle reminders of things that he wants us to say. And that would be the one where I've now internalized Dave's voice so well that I'd be like, which bridge?
Yes. And notice how I have always said US 90 for the last few weeks instead of the Pace Bridge that I used to.
Or the Causeway. You can say the Causeway.
Causeway? Okay.
Highway 90.
Highway 90?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know,
not Pace Bridge.
David Wayne is in the newsroom. David, do you have any more weather aesthetics updates for us?
No, it's not as pretty as it used to be.
Yeah, it's gotten all gray now, hasn't it?
It has.
All right.
It's unfortunate.
You and Bob Ross are crying. Go on, sir. What's going on?
Andrew.
Somebody who just got in their car is like, what the hell happened to my radio show?
It was a really fun morning there for a while. A pretrial hearing is set for disgraced movie producer Harvey Weinstein today. Prosecutors are looking for a retrial on rape and sexual assault charges after a conviction earlier this year was overturned by the New York Court of Appeals.
You can mispronounce his name all you like. Nobody's going to defend him.
Rapper Sean Kingston has agreed to be extradited to Florida, where he and his mother are charged with fraud in Broward County. Kingston was arrested after a performance at Fort Irwin last week in California. His mother was arrested here in Florida after a SWAT raid on their mansion in Fort Lauderdale. They're accused of stealing money, jewelry, vehicles, and furniture. And the baseball record books are about to change, Andrew. According to multiple reports, all the former Negro League players are going to have their stats officially incorporated into Major League Baseball's historical records.
Yeah, this is a really interesting story. We've known this is coming for a while. David, thanks so much for the update. We've known this is going to be coming for a while, but the Negro Leagues, which of course, you know, if you were black at a certain point in this country, you couldn't play in the Major Leagues, and then Jackie Robinson, and then other players after that. But, you know, so you played the Negro Leagues, and, you know, the problem is that there is kind of this historical knowledge that some of the players in the Negro Leagues would have been superstars in the major leagues, if only, right? If only they could play. Well, how do you go back and how do you fix that problem? You know, how do you honor them? Well, obviously, you allow them into the Hall of Fame. That's actually a no-brainer. This one is a little bit more interesting, though, because baseball, and if you're not a baseball fan, I get that this may not make a lot of sense to you, but baseball is the kind of sport where statistics and numbers are kind of the everything. They are almost like a sacrament. If, you know, if baseball were a religion, then numbers and statistics are a sacrament. That's why the, you know, the whole issue of how many home runs do you hit in a season was so controversial, because they expanded the season. So in a longer season, you have more chance to hit home runs. And that's why, you know, you had like the Roger Maris with the asterisk, you know, because it was a longer season when he broke Babe Ruth's home run. Anyway, the reason this is interesting is because the record keeping in the Negro Leagues was not as good, not as diligent. And so a lot of these records we don't really know about. For example, one of the guys, Josh Gibson, who has been called historically kind of the Black Babe Ruth is what people refer to him as. We really don't know how many home runs he hit. Officially, the number's actually not that high. It's like 170, I think, something like that. But they say he might have hit 800 home runs. I mean, 800. We don't know. They played shorter seasons. And, of course, they didn't play in the same league, and so it's hard to figure out. But, for example, his statistics, which are now going to be integrated to the Major League Baseball statistics, include things like his career batting average will be number one at 372. Ty Cobb was 366. Slugging, which is a combination of on-base plus how many bases you hit for, is 718. Babe Ruth was 690, so he's going to be topping that. On-base plus slugging, another one, is 117, and Babe Ruth is 116. He played in just 602 Negro League games, according to Baseball Reference. But anyway, you know, those are kind of records that are now going to change because of the integration. But here's the challenge. Because they didn't play against the Major League players, you can kind of see it both ways. They might have been better than the major league players, and therefore it's not fair to mix the two statistics together. You know, historically, a lot of white players wanted to exclude Negroes because they thought they were unfairly better. You could also think that, well, they didn't play against the very best in the major leagues, and so their statistics shouldn't count. It's a very complicated argument. I'm in favor of this, but it's more nuanced than just, hey, do the fair and equal thing.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. In closing arguments, prosecutors say former President Trump illegally concealed hush money payments from voters. The defense says star witness Michael Cohen, former President Trump's former attorney, is lying.
This morning, Judge Juan Merchan is expected to take about an hour or so to instruct the jury on the law. Then the seven men and five women will enter a room to deliberate on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. Nearly a half million homes and businesses are without power in Texas. A teenager at a home construction site in Magnolia, Texas, is killed in the latest storms, and there are more in the forecast.
The new system moves out of the Rockies, bringing the possibility of large hail, damaging winds, heavy rainfall that could cause flash flooding, and isolated tornadoes over some of the same areas that have been affected by dangerous weather the last several weeks.
That's Fox meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
.6:31 at News Radio Pensacola. It is 77 and cloudy right now. After receiving bids from Waste Pro and Adams Sanitation for the revamped recycling program, the city of Pensacola now moving to negotiate with Adams. Mayor D.C. Reeves says once those negotiations are complete, residents will have a few months to decide if they'd like to opt in.
The steps will be is we will work out internally and externally with Adams what the new 2.0 recycling will look like. And at that point, we will have at least 90 days and maybe more of onboarding, right? We need people to call in, to opt in, to sign up. We want to make sure everybody understands it. We want to get, you know, before we put recycling cans back out, we want to put stickers with the correct information of what can be recycled.
During the bidding process, Adams proposed weekly pickup at about $8 per household. However, Mayor Reeves says the city may opt for bi-weekly, depending on how many residents show interest of opting in. Over the Memorial Day weekend, Pensacola International Airport saw over 28,000 passengers screened, building off of last year's numbers.
That's Thursday through Monday, so 28,583. So you can surmise it's about 50-50, so you can surmise about a total of 57,000 passengers for the week. 16% jump from the same time period last week.
Mayor D.C. Reeves there again, and he says for the most part, the wait lines at TSA weren't all that bad, although they did peak at about 32 minutes due to some delays and staffing shortages at one point. A local massage therapist is facing some accusations of inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. According to Channel 3, 64-year-old Joseph Long is charged with battery. Six clients have now filed reports against him.
Starts rubbing my stomach. And at this point, I'm like, nobody rubs your stomach. That's definitely, you know, like all of this has not been a mistake or an accident. So I start freaking out.
Sheriff Chip Simmons says one of the complainants declined to press charges and others passed the statute of limitations. Long owns Waterfall Massage on Nine Mile Road. He was arrested May 10th and released on $70,000 bond. He'll be arraigned on charges in July. And public safety and information officials held their media roundtables yesterday in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. This is ahead of the official start of hurricane season, June 1st.
Every storm is different. Granted, they name storms now. And there are times where I wish that they wouldn't do that because some people say, well, Hurricane Ivan, I made it through Hurricane Ivan and it was Category X or it was this, that, the other thing. Really, when you categorize a storm, it only talks about the wind speed. It doesn't take into account the storm surge. That's the killer.
That's Tom Lloyd, Santa Rosa County's Public Safety Director. And as a reminder, the official motto from the state and local leaders did change last year. It's no longer the first 72 is on you, but rather 1 week ready. Also, starting on June 1st through the 14th, Floridians can take advantage of the first of two disaster preparedness holidays, avoiding sales tax on items you may need, such as flashlights, portable generators, and pet food. It is 6:35 at News Radio Pensacola, and taking a look at our traffic on the fives. Jimmy, what are you seeing?
Well, if you're coming into Pensacola from Cantonment going south on Highway 29, you can expect to see a little bit of traffic building up right before East 10 Mile Road. And traffic building up in downtown Pensacola, starting on North Palafox Street at the intersection of West Fairfield going to about Maxwell Street, and then downtown Pensacola on 9th and Cervantes, and all along Garden Street, building up today going westbound. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Indeed. Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to see another hot and humid day today with temperatures warming up near 92 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies with a 10% chance of rain. We will have highs near 88 degrees, lows Thursday night dropping near 71. For Friday, we are going to keep the mostly sunny skies around with a high near 88 and just a 10% chance of rain. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now we have 77 in Pensacola, 77 also in Gulf Breeze, and a few degrees cooler at 74 in Milton. Your next news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, workers are striking against Samsung for the first time in the South Korean tech giant's history. The National Samsung Electronics Union says it's declaring the strike amid what it calls company neglect of workers. Union reps say they're also looking for better wages. The strike comes more than 2,000 of the company's workers had rallied in Seoul, South Korea to demand better pay. In response, Samsung says that they will continue to negotiate with the union. Meanwhile, competitor Apple says that it's given permission to Samsung and other companies to mass produce OLEDs for its new iPhone lineup. Reports from Korean news agencies say that Samsung will provide screens for all four of Apple's iPhone 16 models, while LG will make displays for the 16 Pro and Pro Max. BOE will make screens exclusively for the iPhone 16 and iPhone 16 Plus. Samsung will be undergoing final approvals by the end of the month, with LG set to follow in mid-June. On Wall Street, stock futures continue to trend lower, and that is Your Money Now.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955. 800-721-3955.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get tips on the Blue Angels, beach time, and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Thursday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach.
In Pensacola, Pensacola Beach, and Perdido Key.
On News Radio 92.3.
Think identity theft won't happen to you? Think again. There's a new victim every 3 seconds in the U.S., over 15 million this year alone, and many don't even know they're victims. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you could miss even when you monitor your credit. If your identity's stolen, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft, but everyone can save up to 25% their first year with My Name Clay as the promo code at LifeLock.com.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
least get to that part, in my opinion. Joining us now, we have Bruce Woody. He is the executive director at the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority. And my heart weeps inside for the knowledge that there are many, many, many people under the age of, let's say, 40, listening who don't recognize that theme music. That just makes me super sad. Bruce, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good old Fred Sampson, yeah.
You dummy! I'm not talking to you. I'm quoting. that's such a great. We recently started rewatching Sanford's Son. It's hilarious. It's fantastic. Anyway, one of the questions that had come up recently, I think it was in Santa Rosa County. I don't know. Somebody was raising a stink about how, you know, you government agencies don't work together very well, and you don't coordinate your operations, and so you dig up a road in order to put in a pipe, and then somebody comes in later and they dig up the road to repave it, and then somebody digs up the road to put in, you know, electrical power lines or, you know, whatever. But we have a project that's about ready to begin that is actually the exact opposite, where you are very definitely coordinating activity between FDOT and you guys, right?
Yeah, it's very important for all public agencies to work together that way, because none of us want to be embarrassed by the oversight that you just described. When somebody tears something up that's brand new, we all work for the taxpayer. We want to be sure that our work is the most efficient as we can. And in that regard, we're currently working with the Florida Department of Transportation on improvements to Michigan Avenue, starting just a couple blocks west of Mobile Highway to about 10 blocks east of Mobile Highway. ECUA's work is going to be the installation of a 16-inch diameter ductile iron pipe that helps improve system pressure, improve water supply delivery in that immediate area. Actually, not just that immediate area, but for probably a mile surrounding that area. And we'll be doing that ahead of a FDOT project. They're doing a pedestrian safety improvement and building overlay project that will follow right behind us.
So you guys not only – and now FDOT was the beginning of this process, and you guys realized, oh, hey, we can work with them because we need to put in this big transmission pipe at the same time. Is that right?
He was already on our capital improvements plan. And as we meet with FDOT a couple times a year to go over and share – project information, we noticed we were in the same quarter at the same time, so we aligned our schedules to work together. We do the same thing with the Escambia County and City of Pensacola as best we can. Now, there will be occasional changes. Say the Public Works Department gets some extra money and they're going to mill and overlay a few extra streets. Sometimes those decisions are made on the fly, but for the most part, those are pretty well planned and we can work together.
And so, I mean, not just a cost savings to not have to do the work twice, but particularly when you're talking about this is going to, I assume, have disruptive impacts on the intersection of Mobile Highway and Michigan Softley Field, but also all along Michigan particularly, you're going to have, you know, lane reductions and things like that. And so working together not just saves money, but saves the headache caused to the, you know, the driver basically, right?
Oh, the time and frustration, yeah. Nobody likes those orange barrels and time delays that result from construction. Much of this work, however, I will say, is anticipated to be more at night in order to help save some of that reduction and disruption as well.
Very good. We'd like to hear that. You guys have your water quality report came out. Is that right?
Yes. Every year, all public and private water utility providers are required to submit a consumer confidence report, as it's required, as it's called by the EPA. We call it a water quality report. You go to ECUA's website and look under the Live Green tab. There's several choices, and one of those is Our Water Supply. And there you can find copies of our annual water quality report, literally going all the way back to 2009. You know, every annual edition is there. It has a lot of really interesting information about where your water comes from, our well system, the aquifer that it's drawn from, sampling protocols and base information. And for those who really like the details, you can really geek out on all kinds of technical test results, on all kinds of radiological issues, inorganics, volatile organic contaminants, all those things that we test for to prove and show that we have great quality water here in Escambia County.
Very good. We'll come back to this in just a second. Bruce Woody, he's the executive director at ECUA. Jimmy's got traffic on the fives.
If you are on North Palafox Street this morning going north or southbound, you can expect to see some traffic all the way in between Cervantes and West Fairfield Drive. And if you were coming in from Gulf Breeze in Navarre, you are good to go all the way westbound on the 98 bridge into Pensacola today. Seeing some slowdowns on the US 90 bridge coming in from Pace or Milton, so expect some slight delays there, but clearing up as you enter Pensacola. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Back to Bruce Woody with the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority. That's water, sewer, trash, and recycling, and yard waste. One of the things you were talking about, water quality reports, and you're always trying to find ways to make sure that people's water supply is safe. One of those is particularly people who might be on a well system and also have a like a sprinkler system. There's the Cross Connect Control Program. Can you explain what that is, why people need to be aware of it?
Yeah, you know, one of the many ways that we work to control your water supply's quality and protect its integrity is not only at the source and the work that we do to treat it before you put it into the system. We also try to protect the system by making sure that either the commercial and residential connections to that system meet certain regulations. The cross-connection control program is for folks who have an internal water sprinkler system, maybe an in-ground water sprinkler system, or if you have an on-site well that you use for sprinkling or even drinking water. We want to be sure that those systems are connected with a backflow preventer, and if that backflow preventer is tested, if your residential has to be tested every 2 years and it has to be certified and that information submitted to us. What that does is prevent, in case there's a situation where there's more pressure in the system outside ours that they can't force water back into our system, or if there's a pressurized system, say if you have a well on your property, that you can't overpressurize and push untreated water back into our system.
Now, that makes sense. I mean, if you're sprinkling water up out of the ground, that's going to be pressure, and you don't want that to go back into either the well or your source material, because that's the kind of contamination that we don't want in drinking water, right? So every 2 years they have to test that, and you guys have a what does the Cross Connect Control Program do for people? Do you help people with this? What is it all about?
We've had 100% compliance with commercial folks for many years, but much less so on the residential side. EPA is now saying that that has to be enforced on the residential side, so we couldn't previously use the enforcement tool of actually discontinuing service for failure to comply with the system, but we will be doing that at the end of this current year's program.
Oh, so if people do not participate in certifying that they have backflow preventers, then they can actually have their water cut off.
Yeah, that is true. Now, please understand, this only affects about 2,000 of our 100,000 customers.
Okay.
There's not that many people that have these kinds of systems, so you have to have a backflow preventer and it has to be tested every 2 years. Now, to help folks with this, if they don't have a backflow preventer, or have frustrations and don't want to deal with a plumber going out to testing, come out to do the test, we've got a new program where ECUA will actually coordinate that up front and for the installation of a backflow preventing device, if you don't have one, we'll even fund that up front and allow you to pay it back over a two-year period of time on your bill.
And just to make sure, because I know people probably have this question, this does not apply to the ordinary homeowner with a sprinkler system. This is something different from just that. Am I right?
Yeah. If you have an ordinary connection with a water sprinkler system that's a past meter, that doesn't apply. If you have a separate metered underground sprinkler system, then it would apply.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Good to know. Last thing. Well, actually, two things. The Bayou Marcus Boardwalk is open, is working, is going to be repaired. Where are we at?
Bayou Marcus Boardwalk is in Birding Trail. Is really enjoyed by a lot of folks. It's pretty lengthy. It's made on it, though, and needs to have the wood surface repaired and replaced. So that phase one begins June 1st. For those of you familiar with the system, there's a entrance off of Alcade Drive. We're going to close the whole west side of the boardwalk from that entrance west and do that as phase one. That entrance will remain open. But only the east portion of the boardwalk will be open. After that is completed, then we'll close the southern port part of the boardwalk in Phase 2, and the only access will be through Alligator Drive.
Okay.
Both phases will be completed within 12 to 14 months.
Okay, so over the course of the next year, you're going to close half, close the other half. People will still be able to use the half that's going to be open, but that's going to shift. And so for people who would like to use that facility, which is a great facility, it really is a wonderful one. Last thing, and I think I know the answer to this, but I was asked on social media, I want to ask you. Please, Bruce Woody, would you consider going back to bulk pickups without calling ahead instead of the having to call ahead now? I assume the answer is, well, it saves us an awful lot of money and wear and tear on our trucks and our time for our people to not have to send them around randomly every single week, but instead to go to where we're asked to go. Do I have it about right?
That is technically correct. The board that the board does address does talk about this almost at every meeting. They are concerned about it. They recognize that it's a service that's well loved because historically it's been always been free and they don't have to call. It's just kind of out there. But it is expensive and we're looking at ways to keep from having to raise rates to keep up with expenses. Driving routes where we're only picking up something from every 200th home is pretty wasteful on fuel and staff time.
Right.
It's still even though we're asking you to call up to at least 2 p.m. or earlier ahead of your pickup time, even though we ask you to call, it's still a free service within certain reasonable limitations. Other trash company, even the city of Pensacola, you have to pay for that service. We are making more convenient. If you're familiar with our Rebel Coach app, we're working on within 30 days, we'll have a new addition to that that allowed you to use your mobile phone to rather than having to make that phone call to
do it through the app.
To schedule a bulk pickup, so that'll make it a little more convenient.
Well, as you well know, once people get accustomed to having a certain thing available to them, especially for free, it's very hard to make changes in that. If the change is as simple as give us a call to let us know, I understand. ECUA Executive Director Bruce Woody joins us every month after they have their meeting, which they did yesterday. Bruce, as always, thank you for the time, and thanks for keeping our water and our sewer and our trash and our recycling all under control, man. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Andrew.
6:52 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You will need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel Friday at 9 a.m. to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rigi Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Local experts share their expertise on the Pensacola Expert Panel. It's Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Did you say something about my mom?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Do you want to die, Napoleon?
You're right. Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
6:54 on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and David Wayne is in the newsroom eagerly waiting for my call. David, what's going on in the newsroom, sir?
Well, Andrew, at least one person has died, another missing, and seven more had to be hospitalized Tuesday afternoon after a natural gas explosion in Ohio. That happened at a multi-tenant property in Youngstown. Of the seven people reported as injured, one listed to be in critical condition. They're continuing to investigate that. A bill in Tennessee referred to as the Abortion Trafficking Act is now law. Governor Bill Lee there signed it into law yesterday. It criminalizes helping minors obtain an abortion without parental consent. And a Louisville prosecutor and world number one golfer Scottie Scheffler's attorney heading to court today. The appearance comes about 2 weeks after Scheffler was arrested for assault on a police officer, criminal mischief, and reckless driving. That happened outside of the PGA Championship in Louisville.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Jimmy has got our traffic on the five, sir.
Well, if you're in Pace or Milton, you can see some traffic building up on Woodbine right before you hit US 90. And some traffic slowing down on US 90, the bridge itself, but clearing up as you get into Pensacola. If you are in Gulf Breeze and Navarre coming into Pensacola, you are clear all the way over the Highway 98 bridge into Pensacola this morning. And some traffic downtown on North 9th Avenue and Gregory Street building up, and Chase Street and Bayfront Parkway. So, you know, we're seeing traffic building up all over downtown. So just expect some delays almost at every intersection driving around there this morning. If you see anything else on the road, please call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping, call us today for all of your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jimmy with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much. Have you seen, Jimmy, you're in and out of the news, I know, outside of the show. Have you seen the story about the Pope and making horrible, terrible, no good, misogynistic, anti-LGBT, et cetera, comments? Have you seen this headline at all?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's been running around. A lot of places have been reporting, you know, the Pope has had to apologize now for using an anti-gay slur. Here's the thing. You have to really look hard in order to find anybody who actually documented what he said, which is fascinating. Same thing for the Richard Dreyfuss story. Richard Dreyfuss is being criticized for comments that he made at a Jaws screening. And you know, terrible comments against women. Well, what were they? Well, they're terrible. What were they? You know, like, it's just annoying. In the Pope's case, I'm not going to say what he said, but he used a term in Italian that I do not know that you will not recognize. The term in Italian is frociagine, I guess. I don't speak Italian, but I guess it's close. F-R-O-C-I-A-G-G-I-N-E. Translated into English, I've read a couple of articles that sort of said, he's talking about in seminaries, and it basically, I don't know, it made me laugh. It's just such a weird word. Okay, so there's a, you know, when a fly is a baby fly, we call it a, when it's just a little crawly worm, don't answer, but you know, starts with an M, okay? There's another word that starts with an F that people use that rhymes with that word, okay? This is me not saying any of these words on the air, right? Because, you know, that's how you do these days. So it was that word ness. Okay?
That word what?
Word for a bundle of sticks, word for a bunch of cigarettes, that word ness.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's the
like
word.
Like the quality of...
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yes. There's too much of that in seminaries. That's what he said. Now he's apologized. Ouch. By the way, just who knows? But let me say this. The challenge you have with behavioral slurs is that behavioral slurs and identity slurs are different. Like racial slurs are bad because, you know, like racism is bad. And sexist slurs are bad because, you know, sexism is bad. Slurs, which this would qualify as one, against gay people are bad because, well, is it a behavior or is it a nature or is it an identity? Well, this is a historical conversation that we have a lot. People disagree. I would just say they're not helpful. But, I mean, they're not. You know, you use these words, it doesn't help. It's not any good. But there are slurs that we use that you don't think much about. Like, for example, this is out of this category, but think about a slur for somebody who talks to the police about other criminals. Tattletale, rat, snitch, fink, narc, canary, blabbermouth, stool pigeon. All these, like, some of them are a little older than others. The reason slurs exist is because they reinforce a cultural concept through language use, right? That's why they exist. In some cases, slurs exist because they reinforce, perhaps, you know, in the crime community, legitimate concerns you have about people. But
listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.